It's a long-standing joke, that acronym, GOLF, standing for Gentlemen Only, Ladies Forbidden. People aren't laughing much about it at the Masters this week, though. The golf tournament kicked off at Augusta National Golf Club yesterday, and once again, it's not the greens, but the membership policy that's making headlines. Augusta is defiantly men only. Always has been. Some members say it always will be. But here's the dilemma. Traditionally, Augusta offers membership to the CEOs of the three major corporate sponsors of the Masters Tourney. But for the first time in the club's history, one of those CEOs is a woman, Virginia Romney of IBM. And Augusta National has been relatively mum about whether or not they will open up their membership to a woman at this point. Here's Augusta National Chairman Billy Payne digging himself a little deeper into the bunker at a press conference earlier this week.
All issues of membership are now and have been historically subject to the private deliberations of the members.
Once again, that deals with the membership issue, and I'm not going to answer it. Once again, though expressed quite artfully, I think that's a question that deals with membership.
All right, so Augusta may be silent on this issue, but very few other people have been. Joining us now, Nicole Neely, Senior Fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. Gloria Felt, author of No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power, which has just been released in paperback. Felt's also the former president and CEO of Planned Parenthood. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Sure. Pleasure.
I should mention at the outstart that as a private club, Augusta is under no legal obligation to include anyone. They can be as an exclusionary as they want. But Nicole, should they be exclusionary?
You know what? I think this is a business decision, and I think it is a bad business decision. They could have really capitalized on this historic opportunity. They could have gotten terrific positive PR. And we are starting to see people start to file protests and petitions about this. So I think they made a terrible call. But this is that's how they want it. That's their business model. So that's how it is.
And you know, Gloria, to a certain extent, Augusta has been able to thumb their noses. They didn't include African Americans in membership until 1990. Pretty late, most people would agree. And also, you know, there has been other protests about the men only policy. At one point, sponsors pulled out and Augusta said, fine, we won't air commercials. They have the financial backing to be able to do that.
That's correct. And to the extent that Nicole says it's a private club and they can do what they want, I mean, that's probably true. But that doesn't mean it's right. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be protesting it, because it is about power. It's a symbol of power. The green jacket is a symbol of the last bastion of male hegemony over the economics of the country, of wealth. And so it does matter. It does matter. And excluding women, despite the great progress we've made, is such an incredibly, I would just call it an epic fail. And I think it's an epic fail on the part of Augusta. But I have to say, I also think it's an epic fail on the part of IBM and Rometty herself. I think she should be speaking up and standing up for not only herself, but other women. It's just it's a missed opportunity.
And IBM has also not come forward and made any comment on this. But lots of other people can't have. Mitt Romney said, if I were a member and if I could run Augusta, which isn't likely to happen, but of course I'd have women in Augusta. And the White House weighed in as well. Here's Jay Carney.
His personal opinion is that women should be admitted. I happen to have a discussion with him about this, so I know that that's his answer.
Him that he's talking about there is President Obama. Jay Carney is the White House press secretary. So, Nicole, if it was a bad business decision, maybe to not already invite Virginia Romney of IBM, is it a better business decision to cave to pressure?
Well, you know what? I think, taking a step back, there is really a legitimate role for single-sex-only organizations, and that might sound behind the times, but there's really nothing inherently wrong and harmful to society, or to women in particular, to tolerate the existence of male-only clubs. I mean, think about, I'm a member of the Junior League. That's a women-only club. And so I'm not really sure why a male-only club is intrinsically more problematic or elitist than one that merely sorts by social status or by income. So I get that people are upset, but I think it is misplaced anxiety.
Here's the problem. Okay, Gloria, go ahead and respond.
Yeah, if you don't mind, obviously it does matter, because men aren't clamoring to get into the Junior League. If the Junior League had the kind of power that the Augusta Golf Club had, men would be clamoring to get into it. And that's really the point. The world turns on human connections, and who you get to hang out with does make a big difference. And if the power brokers are all hanging out on the Augusta Golf Course, then women who have become power brokers, like Jenny Rometty, should be able to be a part of that.
And here's another problem that I wish you guys would both weigh in on. It has called up kind of a seamy underbelly of this sport. Let me read for you something that was written by golf writer Wayne Mills. He said, "Men golf to get away from women. It's a short time away from the badgering, bitching, manipulation that men are subjected to from women on a regular basis. You should hear what's said about women in candor from every level employee at a golf course. They will tell you women are a pain in the tush. They complain, they're rude, and they are cheap." This seems to me to be the PR problem for Augusta, that this controversy seems to invite this kind of unfortunate comment.
You know, I'm blown away by it. I'm sort of speechless.
Nicole?
Oh, no, I think it's a problem for Augusta. I think it's a problem for the PGA, and hopefully this controversy will force them to take a hard look at it, because one of their fastest-growing market segments is women. That being said, Augusta is actually not the worst of the bunch. There is a golf club within the Beltway here called Burning Tree, where presidents from Eisenhower up through Bush 41 used to play at. They don't allow women in the door, period. There are no women's bathrooms. There are no women's locker rooms. And actually, the first president who stopped playing there was Clinton, because Hillary wouldn't let him play there. And so if this really upsets women, if this really upsets members there, and people feel that this is something that is negative, I am all for people boycotting them. I am all for people ignoring and not wanting to be a part of Augusta because they're disgusted by it. You know what? I personally think IBM should take a stand and not renew their sponsorship next year.
I think Rometty should also speak up on behalf of herself and all women aspiring to the upper echelons of corporate leadership.
Do either of you golf?
Oh, I would have failed golf in college if I hadn't had a written exam.
Nicole, do you golf?
I don't golf, but I do think that forcing, male institutions like this to open their doors to female members is not really going to do anything to promote to encourage companies to promote more women to the top. I think this is separate from the issues of female leadership and female CEOs.
Nicole Neely, senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum, Gloria Felt, author of No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power. Thank you both for joining us. I know that many of you out there in the listening world have a lot to say about this. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post your comment at thetakeaway.org.
Let's carry that issue forward for a moment. If you're a fan of golf and watching the tournament, if CEO Rometty of IBM stands up there at the tournament and doesn't say anything about this controversy, is she, as our guest suggests, or one of our guests suggests, is she a hypocrite? Should she say something? Does she need to be a part of it? Should she cancel the sponsorship of IBM? We'd love to know what you think. 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Let's go to the headlines now. A little after 15 minutes past the hour, President Obama will host a White House forum on women and the economy today. The gathering is timed to coincide with the release of a report focusing on how the government is creating jobs for women. A leader of an international heroin smuggling ring that ran large amounts of drugs through Dulles International Airport in Virginia will be sentenced today. Edward McCauley is one of 12 defendants who have been charged. He faces at least 10 years in prison. A town that describes itself as the smallest in the U.S. has been sold at auction. Buford in Wyoming has just one inhabitant, the retiring mayor, Don Sammons. He told ABC News why his town is special.
Amazing people come in here. That's the thing that I'm going to miss the most, is that I got travelers from all over the world and had conversations that I would never be able to have.
Buford was sold for $900,000 to an international buyer from Vietnam. God, I love this country. Ferdinand Alexander Porsche, the design chief responsible for the classic 911 sports car, has died. He was the grandson of the founder of the Porsche Auto Company. It was one of the greatest designs of all time. You're listening to The Takeaway. Later on in the program, we're going to talk about the North Carolina town where Hunger Games was put up for sale. Got us thinking, if you could own any piece of movie memorabilia, even a special effect, what would it be? Our producer Tim said the ferrets from The Beastmaster.
Wow, what?
Which allows us to play a clip from that classic movie. I mean, everybody knows where they were when Beastmaster was released. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.